Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and the Burger Popper, Omar, from the great state of Oklahoma. So what's up, guys? How did the weekend go? I think everybody's pretty excited that Army is now bowl eligible and won a very, very close contest at UTSA. And we talked about it last week on the roundtable, and I think it got solidified with some of the extracurriculars after the game that UTSA and Army are like 100% official. Lock it in. We need to come up with a trophy. It is now a rivalry, particularly now that they're in the American. But how are we doing?
You know, I'm doing great. I had a great Thanksgiving. It was awesome to have my family here. You know, I didn't really care about these holidays until I had kids. And then after I had kids, like, I'm all about it now, especially that when they're older and they come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff. So it was awesome to have them. If you listen to the show last week, you know that I was not necessarily expecting an Army win, but God damn, they played their asses off. Tackling was so good this week. I mean, I know I'm supposed to talk about the offense, but the tackling was so good this week. And, it just made my weekend, honestly. Super excited about Army-Navy, which we'll probably talk about a little later. So, yeah, man, never better. Honestly, never been better.
Awesome. Omar, how about you?
That was good. Good to have the in-laws come in from El Paso. Baby's first Thanksgiving. I guess with the family as well. Now that holidays are more special, even though a 1-month-old can't really eat turkey or drink gravy, even. But still, I mean, it was good. And then just enjoying the weekend of college football, just seeing all the bowl games, kind of. Or I guess all the teams become bowl eligible, and every single 6-6 team getting a bowl. I always say Herbert Hoover's campaign promises were a chicken for every pot and a bowl game for every 6-6 team. So for the fifth straight year, we get that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, I think that's really, really good to see teams like make it, because now, particularly in the age of name, image, and likeness, like that's a one opportunity really to get something else on film. And then, like, if you're a junior, like, hey, here's your last chance to like make something happen for yourself before the draft. And unless you are in one of these teams where your coach has gotten poached, not going to talk about the elephant in the room. I think everybody has their opinions on Lane Kiffin, but if you're a Tennessee fan, sorry, Dano, you kind of saw that coming,
I mean, I remember it well. He sets the place on fire on his way out the door.
Yeah, and I think that, but guess what, guys? That's major college football now, right? If you expect a player to stay around and he's going to get offered money to go somewhere else, he's probably going to go somewhere else. So can't be surprised if it happens to your coach. Anyway, speaking of somebody that's not going to move out on you all of a sudden, we have somebody that will help you move in to your next opportunity, and that is Jocelyn Bradley. If you are PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line and the class of West Point, class of 2010. She served as an Army logistic officer, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she gives you that same commitment and helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service to ensure a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that span across the country, and they're all ready to support you wherever your PCS is taking you. So if you're relocating locally or across the nation, Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, and she can connect you with a professional of integrity in your next market. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is the realtor that you can trust to guide you to your next home. Reach out today and let her make your next move seamless. Like, yeah, Jocelyn is great. She's signed up, for another year of supporting Ask for Football. Actually had somebody that referenced the show when talking to her. So that's great. So if you have any, if you have any home buying needs, go to the Ask for Football website, click on her little business card, and chat her up. She will get you pointed in the right direction. And we're thankful that she's supporting us again this year. Back to the recap, Dano.
Yeah. So this gets kind of long. So I figured I should volunteer myself to read all this, but Army beat UTSA in the Dome 27-24, handed Jeff Traylor his first ever conference loss at home, which is unbelievable, even though Army has won there a few times. And man, those UTSA players did not seem very excited about it, which obviously, why should they be? As you know, Army got the ball first. Didn't exactly inspire confidence right off the bat. You know, they punted, gave up a 9-play, 81-yard touchdown drive, turned the ball over on downs in their own end after a 6-play drive, and then, I don't want to say lucky, but they forced a field goal on an 11-play, 31-yard drive. And honestly, at this point, they're down 10. It did not look good. And then two plays later, Noah Short takes an 81-yard option pitch for a touchdown, and it changed the game. And if you go back and rewatch that play, it's crazy because they fake the rocket toss and then just run speed option pitch to Short. So the linebackers like do a double take and then it just gets smoked. And man, Short showing his explosiveness there. Like, that was awesome. And then Army forced a punt on UTSA's next possession and then drove 87 yards off their own 3-yard line in 14 plays to kick a field goal and tie the game. I was feeling pretty good at this point, right? You're feeling pretty good, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, it's always tough when the team is having a bad season or a bad-ish season, but when they start having a good game and you can see the momentum changing on the field, like it's always nice to see. And that's a real reason why you watch college football, you know, watching players rise or fall to the occasion. And you could start to sense that the game was getting away from UTSA.
So on the next possession, Jaden Mays takes an interception back to the house, making it 17-10 as we headed into the half. Dude, that was nuts. What an insane play. I mean, when was the last time Army had a pick six? Definitely has not been in a while.
I actually looked it up. It was 2003 against ULM was the last pick six that Army had. So
I was going to say, because I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years, and I've never seen one live. So.
No, I think the last one was ULM on the road at their place.
That's crazy. Anyway, Army's defense forced a turnover on downs to start the second half, setting up another 14-play, 37-yard drive. And by this point, like, we could all see that UTSA had adjusted to Army's outside running game, and the offense was like kind of struggling, right? And they were a little hesitant to run Cale Helms. You know, coach noted after the game that Helms has been a little banged up, so they were trying not to do, you know, 40 carries by the quarterback. UTSA scored 14 unanswered points, and at this point, I had been feeling good. I was no longer feeling good. Right? Because we've just seen just too many collapses this season in the fourth quarter. But the Black Knights offense finally got going through the air, mounting a 13-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to retake the lead. Friends, Cale Helms had been 1 of 6 passing at this point. He had consistently overthrown receivers and been a little behind. On this drive, he went 3 of 4. He even hit tight end Tex Brandon over the middle, but the safety made an outstanding play to knock the ball loose. Helms, in this game, I don't think he ever looked like great throwing the football, but in the fourth quarter, he finally settled down and looked good enough. They finished with a 3rd and 4 on a touchdown pass to tight end Parker Pulaski. You know, just a bootleg. Coach said after the game he thought maybe that Helms would try to run it in. That's not what happened. First touchdown pass to a tight end since 2008. UTSA still had a minute and a half to play and 2 timeouts. This is, in fact, plenty of time to set up a field goal. Like, there is no guarantee that we're not going to overtime at this point. However, Army's defense forced a turnover on downs with a minute 20 remaining. So the UTSA drive lasted 9 seconds. They blanketed UTSA tight end Patrick Obermeyer, who had been burning them like hot coals. And then Kellums gained 11 yards for the game, clinching first down to win it. What a game. Army's bowl eligible, and like we said, UTSA drops their first home conference loss since 2019. Before Jeff Traylor, before the American Conference, that is like ancient history. So, yeah. Omar, let's kick it over to you to start.
Okay. For my play of the game?
Well, just for your takes on the game. What do you think?
Yeah. I like honestly how we talked about the fake rocket toss option, because I think it's interesting that option football is kind of like a philosophy, because it's like, are you going to run like as an option team, like, what's your MO going to be? Are you going to run through people's face? Because we were that team back, you know, when I was a cadet, late 2010s, early 2020s. We can't really be that team anymore. We're going to run through people's face. So it's like, what are we going to do? We're going to deceive people, use misdirection. And I think that might be, I think we just unlocked a new key to the offense there, excuse me, with that misdirection, where like you said, if you could take out the linebacker without even having to you know, have the ball really with that rocket toss motion and just other wrinkles in the playbook. So I liked how we opened it up a bit. I am kind of nervous though too that we're becoming over reliant on the slot backs, but I mean, I guess that's just nitpicking there. Like, the defense was incredibly resilient, probably the most resilient defensive performance like of the season. Like, not the best, because we had the Charlotte UAB, I guess, in terms of points is the best you can say, but this was real competition. We stiffened when we needed it, and I'm encouraged for the Navy game, honestly, because we've seen Navy play down to competition offensively. I mean, we've seen Navy make unforced errors at plenty of times, so like, I really do think we have a shot if we continue this momentum on defense.
Two comments in the Firsty Club. Anthony Scott says 2020 Johnny Nation had a pick six at ULM. I was there for that one, so I should remember it, but I do not. And actually, having said that, yeah, there was a really long pick six UConn at Yankee Stadium in 2014. I was there for that one, too. That was an amazing game.
Yeah. So, you know, my hot take on it is, you know, the defense doubled their sack total for the season, right? So Army is like bottom of the barrel for sacks and interceptions in defensive stats. And so for them to get, you know, I think it's like 1.5, maybe 2 sacks clean, that's a good sign. They were able to get good pressure. The change in the defensive front, watching, you know, some of the movement up front, the stunts, you know, the pressure, being able to send. And I watched a video from last year, believe it or not, that Marcus Freeman was commenting on the Army defense and how they're able to bring simulated pressure, you know, by multiple fronts. And so, like, a lot of that talent is still there at Army. So I think it's just some tapping into that, because again, like, the teams that are doing well scheme wise in college football, don't necessarily have the best athletes, but they have some of the better schemes.
Yeah, for sure. I got to say, you know, a lot of young players making plays yesterday. Noah Short was like the only firstie standout. Jaden Mays, I think, is a Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a young team. I mean, this is not an old team. And even Casey Larkin went out, and I was like, oh, no, Casey Larkin's one of the best players on the team. But they, you know, they did okay without him. And I'm not to say that he's easily replaceable, because I don't think that, but I was highly encouraged that they lost arguably their best player in the secondary and didn't miss a beat. So, not my player of the game, but shout out to Cale Helms for finishing strong in a game when he didn't necessarily have his best stuff. Like, if I had a nickel for every time that was the story of my personal career, I'd have like enough money to get a Starbucks coffee, because that is really, really hard to do. And, you know, to just come back from knowing that you blew it early on and then to knuckle down and make it happen anyway, dude, that's so hard to do. And if you've never suited up before, just trust me, that shit is not easy. And then beyond that, you know, we always knew it was going to be tough sledding against this UTSA defense. Like, they know Army very well. We've played them a lot. And yet they found a way to make it work. And on defense, man, like we said, tackling, they contain these running backs. UTSA has run over some good teams. Like, they got good running backs. Those dudes are talented. But once they got the run stopped, they were able to get pressure on McCown. Like, we all saw what happened. That dude is a different guy when you get just a little heat in his face. I thought the coaching staff had an excellent game plan, like an excellent game plan. And this team, for whatever it's worth, they play just their whole psychology is so much better as underdogs, which is kind of a problem, really. But what can you do?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that you don't ever want to be in the position where you're always the underdog. Right.
Yeah.
That means statistically you're just not putting up the numbers, or, you know, the quote eye test is not working out in your favor. But that being said, people underestimating you leads to what happens. And if you watch some of the pregame stuff or even the postgame stuff from Coach Traylor, he was talking about that. He was like, yeah, I think we played basically a perfect game against ECU. And he's like, so what happens to a bowler that bowls a 300 in their next game? It's probably not a 300. And he was anticipating a letdown. So as a coach, like, what do you do? You know, and again, it goes back to the psychology of college football, particularly in the, you know, mid-major, major college football, is like, how do you get your team ready for what you know is 100% a trap game, right? You just got bowl eligible. You're going against a team that's beat you at home before. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're down by 7 going into the half. And how do you pull out of that nosedive? And I would tell you that they attempted to, but deep down inside, like, Coach Traylor was probably anticipating that, because he said it in his pregame comments that, like, hey, look, we have to avoid you know, lulling into the false sense of security.
Absolutely. All right. I don't mean to take over the hosting. Rob, would you like to do awards here?
Yeah, we're continuing on. So moving on to awards. My player of the game is Jaden.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dude.
All right. Now for the awards. So my player of the game is going to be Jaden Mays. Like, I think we talked about it earlier. The pick six, although it was clutch, it was a momentum shift, but like, he was all over the field. Like, Jaden Mays probably had one of his best games this season. And so hat tip to that guy for playing outstanding. Omar, who you got?
So my player of the game, you know, I'm big on unsung heroes, not going to be Lloyd Benson. You know, he did have a kick return for 13 yards. You know, that should be on the bingo card. Lloyd Benson, the third reference. That's my guy. But I'm going to go Samari Howard with the key catch on fourth down. And I think he kind of epitomizes what Army football is, at least from an offensive perspective. He gets dirty. He blocks well. He's undersized. He gets – and also, most of all, he's overshadowed on the offense by not just Noah Short, but by Brady Anderson. But by all accounts, he's had a great year as a slot back. 11 catches. And they're starting to throw him more bones in the running game. He had a 10-yard carry, but more importantly, he had that big catch on fourth and two. And a lot of people will see Noah Short have this great performance, right, with 127 rush yards, 55-yard pass, or however long it was, and then however many receiving yards. But, I mean, we don't win if Samari Howard doesn't catch that fourth and two. So, Samari Howard, you know, I love my slot backs. He's becoming one of my favorite players just to watch throughout the year. And honestly, like, this man loves contact, too. I mean, I wasn't on the show after the Temple game, but like, I remember he had a 0-yard carry and a 1-yard carry, but this man lowered his shoulder, got up all hyped, the most hyped I've seen any player for a 1-yard carry in my life. So Samari Howard quickly becoming one of my favorites, even though Lloyd Benson, so still a close second for my player of the game.
Awesome.
What about you?
Well, kind of in a similar vein, my player of the game is tight end Parker Pulaski. You know, he caught the tight end he caught that TD catch. That was not an easy catch. And just to kind of double down on Omar's point, this team now actually has some actual weapons in the passing game. You got two slot backs, Noah Short and Samari Howard, and they are both proven receivers at this point. You got wide receiver Brady Anderson. That dude is a good receiver as a yearling. And then you got two tight ends who can catch the football. Like, that's pretty good if you're the Army football team. Like, you've got three different points that you can throw it to. Now, the quarterback still needs to make the right reads and, you know, some other stuff, but I'm telling you, this is a lot more than we've seen at Army in a long time. And I'm not arguing that the Black Knights need to get away from what they do as their base offense, but they definitely can't just run right at Navy either. Like, there's no way. Navy is a good rushing defense and they're not a great passing defense. If the Black Knights can throw 10 passes and hit six of them, that changes everything. This week, guys, they went 5 of 11 and just 3 of 14 on third down. And the passing still just changed everything. 5 completions changed the whole game.
Yeah, and that's 100% the truth, you know, and I think we talked about it, and it's in the notes, and I didn't mention it when I went to my breakdown of the game, but like the wrinkles to the offense, you know.
Yeah.
Even though there were and again, like when you listen to the long tenured coaches that have a lot of wins underneath their belt, and Jeff Monken is one of them, right?
At this point.
But one of the things that you do is you just trickle in one or two new plays, right? That you show on film in the game. But the other part of it is, you build in those extra sets and reps throughout the course of the season. So those plays are already there. They're probably already been in the, those plays are probably already in the playbook. They just haven't been used, right? So then,
for sure,
as you
that's absolutely
them,
true,
right? You've practiced them all season. Now it's time to use them, and it doesn't have to be utilized. You know, and it blows my mind, and I hate to say it because I'm kind of a college football nerd, but like, it drives me crazy that people pretend like people don't watch film. Right. Like, if I'm building my offensive playbook, I look at what the defense does well and I want to attack the exact opposite of that, or find exploitations or mismatches that I can find. And like, Noah Short on the edge is a mismatch for most teams in major college football, particularly in the American. Right. Guess what? You want to get your speedster outside of the tackles. You want to hit inside you want to hit the interior line as hard as you can. That's why Jake Rendina is successful. I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, but It surprises me when people assume that, like, oh, coach called a good game. Well, did he? You know, because sometimes, like, if you go back and you watch the film, there are plays that work, there are plays that don't work. And, you know, like I said, what's the analytics on the Philly special? Like, maybe you run it once every three games, but you're not supposed to run it every game, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way that it works. But it's interesting. But let's move on to plays of the game. Omar, you're up top. What is your play of the game?
So I have to say, for my play of the game, I'm going to go with something unsung. I'm going to go with James Wagonseller's 58-yard punt. I mean, James Wagonseller had – I'm sorry. He had one of the most underrated games of his career. Like, honestly, I'm sorry. You know, I should have read the outline. Okay, let me let you take that, Rob.
No, it's going to go. No, you're committed now.
You're fine. You're fine.
I'm sorry.
You have to go forward.
I'm doing multiple things, like looking at the bowl games, preparing for like the next one, for like to lay down the whole bowl scenarios. Like, so I'm like, I'm preparing, I'm listening, I'm following, and like I just overlooked it. So no, I will choose something different. I instead am going to go with a halfback pass. I'm sorry. That's on me. I'm going to go with a halfback pass, but Noah Short, because honestly, and like, here's my honest opinion. I don't think that should have worked. I don't think a halfback pass should work multiple times a year for a team. Like you said, Rob, if a team watches film and you've seen Army run a halfback pass, like, there is reason to believe that the defense should stay home. But I mean, a 55-yard pass by a slot back is so impressive. And I mean, Brady Anderson, if he caught more passes, he'd be like probably the national leader in yards per catch. So sorry for not reading the outline, but
it's all good.
I'm going to go with that one. No one picked the halfback pass, which I'm surprised, honestly, because that was, you know,
it was a huge play in the game. I will say, if you're defending Noah Short and he has all this speed on the edge, you don't want to accidentally let him get loose. Like, we saw what happens if you do that.
Yeah.
Well, and the other piece of it is like, you can't run cover zero when they're overloaded on that side. Right. So it's a flood route. And so like,
okay.
And that's why the defense had to adjust, you know. And then if this guy burns you for 81 yards, everybody's flying towards Noah Short. So it creates the opportunity for that play. So completely understand that. Dana, who do you have?
So it was really tempting to pick Jaden Mace pick six, because that was just such a backbreaking play in the game. But I'm going to take the final pass breakup against Obermeyer to seal the win. And Mace actually got credit on the score sheet for the breakup, but I thought Colin Madison was in there as well. Definitely two Army players. I would have thought that was a Madison breakup. But, you know, what do I freaking know? Army has not been great in these situations this year. As we know, they're terrible, actively bad on third down as a third down defense. And yet here they are knocking it down. Like, this defense knew it was coming and they made a hell of a play. And especially against the tight end, which is like Army's kryptonite. So that's my play of the game.
Yeah. That press breakup was pretty impressive. And like I said, so Omar's already stole my thunder. The only other comment that I would ask is like, hey, can we get like some weather sealing at Mikey Stadium? So like, is the next part of the renovation, if Theo is listening, like, let's put a dome on it, at least just for punts, because like Wagonseller about kicked it out of the damn building, and you know, decent return, and a decent return of 12 yards. That's a great punt return. Like, if it's a 30-yard kick, 12 yards is huge. When it's 70 yards in the air, 12 yards is nothing, you know? So again, that was a huge part of it. And it also talks about complimentary football, you know, and I have to give, you know, again, hat tip to Jay Parker, because like, he was our kicker when I was a firstie, and like, they called him Mr. Automatic, but he's like, the kicking game matters, like 100%, you know, 100% it does. And although it wasn't a perfect game, it was complimentary. And that's why they won, right? And that's ultimately what it boils down to. In all three aspects, they won the moments that they needed to win, and that was the difference in the game.
If you didn't read James' breakdown, he had three paragraphs on the value of complementary football with examples. You know, it's like a T question. Give an example of complementary, you know, tell us what complementary football is. Be specific, use examples. So he did that in the breakdown. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really good. So now, Omar, time to turn the show over to you, man. Let's talk bowls.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad to be in my element here. So, man, if there's one thing you should know about the process, is bottom line up front. Bowls, ESPN treats bowls like a TV show. It's like reality TV. It's like Married at First Sight. They're trying to create the best match possible for the viewer, and much more so for the team. So it's a good matchup. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of reality TV with my wife, you know, on paternity leave. So that being said, a little roundup of the American Conference's bowl tie-ins and selection process. So they have four bowls that they send teams to automatic, or it's three bowls that they send teams to every single year, regardless of what happens, for the most part. Fenway Bowl in Boston, Military Bowl in Annapolis, Armed Forces Bowl, and Hawaii Bowl on a rotating basis. Now, that comes with a caveat, like I said, where ESPN does what they want because they own the Armed Forces Bowl and the Fenway Bowl. For instance, last year, UConn went to the Fenway Bowl. So that being said, it's looking like an ESPN-owned bowl, and I want to say it's after Christmas. So it looks like our options are the First Responder Bowl. I guess I'll rank them in order of likelihood. I think the Armed Forces Bowl, the First Responder Bowl on the same level, tied at first. And then with less of a chance, I'd say the Birmingham Bowl at number two, and then the New Mexico Bowl on December 27th. I don't see them putting us in a bowl game before Christmas, playing, for instance, in the Frisco Bowl 10 days after Army-Navy. I think that would do those bowl games a disservice because those bowl games have events where players attend and they kind of, you know, hype up the game. So I do think it's going to be a post-Christmas bowl. If I was a betting man, I would say the Armed Forces Bowl because, you know, James in the First Tee Club left some crumbs there. Great investigative journalism with Mike Buddy being on the board. So I'm definitely sure he'll throw us a bone. As for opponent, your guess is as good as mine. In my projections today, I had us playing Washington State. Because it's kind of like we're 6-6. It's not like we deserve a power conference opponent. But Washington State kind of fits that bill. They're a brand name. People are going to tune in. The casual fan will tune in on January 2nd and see, oh, the Army Black Knights are playing a Pac-12 school. Go Army, you know? And that's what really gets viewers going, you know, honestly. Like, people want to see Army beat Washington State or a power conference team. No offense to maybe an Arkansas State or Florida International. Like, people don't really want to see Army beat those schools because there's not really that underdog storyline. That's just my view. So my projection, which will stay, will be Army Washington State in the Armed Forces Bowl on January 2nd.
Yeah, that's not too bad. And for me, like, I'm partial. I wish there was still a tie-in with the Duke's Mayo Bowl because that's right up the street in Charlotte. Always want to go to that one. But
You can still go and just watch college football. You know this, right?
Yeah, true. But, you know, it's much, much harder to get that hallway pass, that kitchen pass, to roll out to a game that has no teams that we watch. But, like, just glad for Army to go bowling because we've had this experience of the last couple of seasons that they were 6-6 and that the timing was too late and they didn't get the opportunity. So for the players, I'm happy. And for the, you know, for the university, because here's what we know. Army's going to show up. They're going to put their best team on the field and they're going to play the best football that they can in those bowl games. And I think that's something that is sorely missed in the name, image, and likeness era of college football. Is if you're in one of these, you know, mid-market bowls or one of the lower bowls, your players are opting out.
Yeah.
You know, and that hurts your brand. Like, and at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to put the best foot forward so you can, you know, one, recruit, but two, anything in the middle part of the country is probably going to do well for Army just because we recruit heavily there. That's part of the pipeline. But it's a great opportunity for, like, hey, look, if I'm a, you know, rising senior in a high school thinking about Army, hey, here's a great chance for me to watch these guys play live. And that could be the difference between locking it in or going somewhere else. And so I think from a brand perspective, it's also good. And speaking of brands, Dano has somebody that has a great brand that can help you get into your next mortgage. Over to you.
Friends, if you watch this show, you know that Craig Oxane, area sales manager for The Money Store, is one of our sponsors. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He is going to offer you super competitive rates and, perhaps more importantly, five-star service. And the reason that this matters is because the mortgage process is not freaking easy in any way, right? You've got interest rates moving all over the place, and even a 0.25% change is a huge amount of money in your pocket or out of it. And it's just, as you're trying to buy a house, that's not the time to try to deal with some clown who doesn't really care and just wants to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank, not a mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you get a best deal on a mortgage that you can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. And guys, Craig does not charge landing fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. That's like $1,300. Get that money, friends. Save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. You know, like Jocelyn, he's got a business card on our website. Just click on that thing. If you're in the market for a house, get your house from Jocelyn, get your mortgage from Craig. I'm telling you, it's too easy. And as we said, you know, they just did their first thing together. That was cool, man. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, check it out. American Conference Championship Preview and the Coaching Carousel. All right. So, you know, if you've lived under a rock for the last 72 hours, you know that Lane Kiffin is going to LSU. Was there any surprise? Like, anybody that watches major college football and knows that guy knows that he was going to LSU. I mean, it sucks for the players there to have a playoff, you know, a playoff eligible team lose their coach right before the playoff, because I think that's going to affect how the committee decides where Ole Miss is placed, which sucks, because like that's completely not fair to that program or those athletes. But, you know, moving on to the conference championship, you got North Texas at number 24, Tulane. I think, you know, these guys are playing for that last slot in the college football playoff. So some of the changes for the CFP this year is, you know, the top five conference champions get to go in. And so if you look at those, if you look at who's left, you know, outside of, you know, the Power Four, you got JMU, Boise State, and North Texas and Tulane are kind of fighting for that last position. So, like, the best scenario that can happen is JMU loses and Boise State loses, or I'm sorry, UNLV loses, and then, you know, Tulane or North Texas is left standing, because I think that makes the American the strongest conference of the remaining conference champions. But, It's gonna be interesting, right? It's gonna be pretty doggone crazy. But interestingly enough, surprisingly, the American is becoming the poaching ground for Power Four schools, right? So I think we're starting to see the level of coaching and player talent improve in the American, because like they were talking about that during the ESPN commentary. If you watch the game on without listening to Varsity app, the ESPN commentators were talking about how well the coaching is in the American. And now all of a sudden you've got, you know, Eric Morris going to Oklahoma State, John Summerall going to Florida. You've got USF Alex Golish going to Auburn, Memphis Ryan Silverman going to Arkansas. If Navy made the playoff this year, I think Drew Connick would be the new head coach at UAB.
No, he declined. They offered him.
Oh, I know. What I'm saying is he declined. I think he wants to go to the playoff with Navy. Yeah, so okay. I think like if Navy would have made the playoff, I think he would have finished out the stretch and then taken over UAB after the season was over.
That was not James' take, but okay.
Yeah, I think. But and then finally, you know, Kennesaw State coach Jerry Mack will become USF's head coach. And you know, Kennesaw State's doing pretty well because they're in the conference champion too. You know, and it's tough because like – part of the reason why all these universities are pulling the trigger so early is because of National Signing Day, right? So guys that have to sign, commit before Christmas, basically, to a college football program, and then it affects recruiting. And so, like, it super sucks for a lot of these teams because they're losing their coach right before a playoff game. But I don't think the impact is going to be as great with some of these moves, because most of these are moves up, sadly, from, you know, the American Conference into the Power Four. But I think Morris and Summerall are sticking with their teams just because, one, they have a better relationship, and two, it's not as cutthroat, right? We waited for freaking, you know, for the last 2 weeks, that's all people were talking about. Hey, is Lane Kiffin going to LSU? If you watch college football, you 100% knew that. And it was like, can we talk about something else? You know, can we talk about something else? But yeah, we'll see. If you're wondering, SP Plus rankings currently have the Mean Green a touchdown favorite on the road. UNT North Texas is plus 17.5. They have the nation's best offense. They have the highly improved defense. They're 68th. Tulane is at plus 6.8. They're 44th. They have the 33rd ranked offense, and they have the 69th ranked defense. Theoretically, is not better than North Texas. Thoughts on the matchup? We'll go Omar, Dan, and then I'll wrap.
Yeah, I just want to say, Rob, the Jerry Mack report was from a parody account. I just want to make sure it was from Conference USA Centel. I don't know if you're familiar with NBA Centel, the king of all parody accounts. We got Centeled.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I apologize. Shows what I know about Kennesaw State then.
Yeah.
Did USF not already hire somebody? I'm sure.
No, not yet. But Mac is receiving interest for Memphis, I want to say, because he's a Memphis native, and other schools. I wouldn't be surprised if USF's on the list. I know that Memphis is interested because he's a Memphis native.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that we got Centeld, which is always fun.
wow. Okay.
I want to say, though, like, I think so for me, I really don't think this is going to be as close of a game as people think, because nothing that I've seen for Tulane makes me think that they're even the second best team in the American, in my opinion. The best win in the conference is Memphis. Memphis is 4-4 in the league, which shows how much, you know, how, I guess, highly we thought of Memphis before it all came crashing down. I think the word I used for the Around the American recap was they lumbered to the finish line against Charlotte. Like, that's a team they should have beat by so much more. I didn't watch that game. Maybe they were on cruise control the whole time, but nothing about this team throughout the year says a team that can dominate a team like North Texas. That being said, I think North Texas is a slam dunk here. I mean, I might get freezing cold taked here, but I think North Texas wins their first appearance in ABC since 1983. You know, did the newspaper research this morning with a baby in hand, because I was curious. But yeah, I mean, nothing in here. Like, I really don't think this is going to be as close of a game, especially with the way Jake Retzloff played last week against Charlotte. He had two interceptions against a secondary that picked off 5 passes all year coming into the game. Like, I don't mean to hate on Charlotte. You know, I'm sure they have cool fans and everything, but they're not exactly the class of the league, you know. So
that's fair. Dano, what you got?
Yeah, so I also have the mean green, and I also don't think it's going to be close. I mean, both teams have been distracted, but, like, I think we saw this last year. Tulane gets distracted easily. You know, they came up to Army, and they looked totally distracted. I mean, I never thought Army didn't have a chance against Tulane last year, but no one thought Army would steamroll them. That was insane. You know, that was just a team that was not on its game, and it would not surprise me to see that again. You know, we've already seen John Sumrall coming off the plane doing the alligator arms. This is not how you win the American Conference Championship, I'm sorry to say. Whereas Morris, he looks locked in. He looks like he knows what he wants to do. He knows that Oklahoma State, what are they going to do, dump him? He's the hottest coach in the land right now. They're not going nowhere. So yeah.
Well, and the other piece of it is like, you have to look at program recognition. Like yeah, Florida, hey, look, if Summerall could change his schedule to play all games in Tallahassee, he might have a chance to have a winning season, because that typically tends to be the only place where Florida, you know, gets people. But yeah, and in the Op4 tradition of piling on, I'm going to, you know, go lean pretty hard on North Texas. I think North Texas has a better offense. They're a lot more explosive. If they fall behind, they have the opportunity to change the pace of the game and you know, really take it to Tulane. And to Dan's point, like, I think Tulane is one of those teams that reads their own headlines.
Yeah.
And then they self-ingest the rat poison, right? Like, you don't even need to, it doesn't need to be put out there. They're eating it themselves. Like, look at what they did last year at Army. They showed up, you know, oh, we know that it's going to be cold, so we're going to warm up with no shirts on. Well, no, it's going to be cold. You warm up with a shirt on. Like, why? Because it's effing cold, man. You know what I mean? Like, common sense would tell you, you do the things to protect yourself and don't change the conditions leading up to the game. And you're already having a conditions change because you're playing at night. So you don't typically play at night. So you want to maintain as much of your schedule as you can to get yourself into, you know, that right mode for playing in a contest of that level. And it's for a championship. Like, hey, if there's hardware on the line, don't change anything, right? You wear your lucky socks, you wear your lucky undershirt, you wear your lucky gloves. Like, don't change anything. But if you're wondering, final, go ahead, Daniel.
I was just going to say, both these teams are running teams. And, you know, as good as Drew Mestemaker has been this year, dude, that North Texas running game is freaking electric. They run the ball so well. That's why they beat Army. It wasn't Mestemaker. It was their running game. And that's why they beat Navy, too. So, if you're Tulane and you're about to be run out of your own building by North Texas, I just think that's the story. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But if you're learning, final conference standings are number one, Tulane, number two, North Texas, number three, Navy. You know, a lot of Navy fans were complaining about, you know, not getting the opportunity to play in the conference championship. But, like, hey, man, like, you got run through. Like, sorry, bro. Like, that's what happens. Fourth place is USF. Fifth place is ECU. Army is sixth. Memphis is seventh. UTSA is eighth. Temple at ninth. And then there's all the also-rans. What I think is crazy is, like, Memphis was, like, one of the hottest teams in the country, and then they just completely fell off. So much so that, like, I'm surprised that their coach even got hired somewhere else, you know? And you see that in major college football. Look at what happened to Mark Stoops. Kentucky's looking for a new coach, right? And he's been passable. He's serviceable. Like, if you're 8-4, 3-4 years in a row, just about anywhere else in the country, you're fine. If you're in the SEC, the hammer's going to get dropped on you. But after everything that is crazy in conference play, Army's 4-4, and they're statistically behind the leaders, not by much. Let's go into Fact or Fiction review. Dan said Army rushes.
Wait. Dude.
Sorry.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
You got to give the people what they want, man.
I apologize to everyone. I do not have my sea legs for hosting. All right, so Fact or Fiction review. Army says, or Dan said, Army rushes under 200 yards this week. That's fiction. Army rushed for 233 yards. Both Dan and James said fiction. James said, Army picks off McCown. That's a fact. Both James and Dan said fact. Anthony Scott says, Army tight end snags a TD. That's a fact. James and Dan both said fiction. And then his phone blew up after Pulaski caught the touchdown reception. Dude.
So many people, everyone that I know, like 100 texts easily about that after last week's show.
Yeah, Coleman, former tanker asked, does Coleman play? And that was fiction. A couple folks in the first club called for Coleman when Helms went 1-for-6 passing, but that was fiction. Both James and Dan said fiction. I think honestly what's going to happen is I think we'll see Dwayne Coleman in the bowl game. I think he gets to start in the bowl game. I mean, that's perfect. That's a great way to end your career at Army, is to get a start in a bowl game. You know, why not? I mean, like, you go in, you beat Army Navy, you throw the kid a bone. He's a firstie. Give him a chance to lead the team one last time. I think that would be super cool. It's almost like a high school or college motion picture, right? To see something like that. Moving on to this week, American Conference, and coaching carousel takes. So Dan, what you got? Fact or fiction?
Yeah. So my fact or fiction, and I just want to do this next week instead of holding it off. So I said North Texas finishes with more rushing yardage than Tulane. And North Texas is a team that doesn't need to rush the ball, and Tulane will 100% lose if they don't rush it. So keep that in mind. So fact or fiction?
Oof. I'm going to say fiction.
Okay.
But I think this may be the difference when these guys get the ability to throw.
Okay.
You know,
Omar.
I'm going fact, because have you seen the type of games that Caleb Hawkins has been like churning out? Like, yeah, like North Texas doesn't need to pass the ball, but this offense is cranking out 600 yards a game. Like, Hawkins, like, Messemaker threw for like 330, and Hawkins ran for 180 yards anyways. So, like, I'm going to say fact on that one, honestly.
If Messemaker can turn around and burn you for 500 yards, like just on a Tuesday, then you're clearly. You just can't be worried about putting eight guys in the box. Like, you're going to die. And yeah, so this is what they're doing.
Yeah. All right. So my fact or fiction is University of North Texas makes the 12-team playoff.
They better. I'm going to say fact for sure. They absolutely, assuming that they win. I mean, you know, we're all selling Tulane pretty hard here, but they're not a bad team, and they certainly have beaten some good teams. But yeah, they better.
Yeah, I think if North Texas wins, I'm going to say fact. If North Texas wins the game, they're going to be going into the playoff. They're going to have the last seed of the highest ranking conference champion. Omar, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go fact. I think the more intriguing question is, like, will James Madison make the playoff if Duke loses? I know we're talking American Conference. Like, that's really the storyline that, like, I'm following. Like, I want chaos this weekend. Like, I am so excited
Well, I mean, we already had chaos, and not to turn this into a roundtable, but like Texas A&M pulled the fire alarm, you know, after losing to Texas. And so, like, they started the ball rolling, because that's part of the reason why, you know, all the shenanigans with Lane Kiffin, right? Because he was holding out to see if he was going to go to a conference championship. Because if I go to a conference championship, then that's a guaranteed bid into the playoff. Like, right now, you know, they're waffling on whether or not Ole Miss is going to make it in, which is a shame. Right? Because
yeah,
they're a good team. They're a solid squad, and they're going to get screwed over. It's kind of like what they did last year to Georgia, right? Hey,
Florida State.
Or No, it was Georgia when they bumped them down a slot or two when Carson Beck got hurt.
Oh, right? Yeah. Sorry.
You know what I mean? So, like, they start adjusting based off of player availability and coaching. And it's like, it's not fair for the team to, like, unless, and I looked at 24/7 sports and I didn't see anybody from Ole Miss bailing to go to LSU, right? Those guys are in for their team for the rest of the season. Like, it may happen afterwards, you know, but as of right now, you know, as a team, the only thing missing from Ole Miss is going to be their head coach. All right, so moving on to the mailbag.
You've got mail.
All right, so we solicit questions from the mailbag. So if you're in the First of Club, you can contact us at any time. If you're on social media, just hit us up at any Ask for Football social. West Point Dave asked, does the American Conference champ and JMU, assuming they win their conference, both get into the playoff with the Duke win in the ACC championship game? And again, going back to the chaos of it all, I would say they have to, right? Because if JMU wins out and Duke wins the ACC, then I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to legitimately put a 5-loss team into the college football playoff, because it's
they can do it. It can happen. They can absolutely do it.
Yeah, 100% they can, but like, where do you seat them? You know, because the whole intent of the Power Four is to put, you know, those four champions in the top seating.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And like, hey, good on Manny
God
Diaz.
God forbid Tulane wins because Duke's got the head-to-head loss, and that was not a close loss.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that would be an intriguing matchup, rematch in the playoffs, because, you know, in college football, it's very, very difficult to beat a team twice in a year. So, you know, going 1-1, it would be interesting to see, but like, I'm not confident that, I don't think JMU is going to lose, but they need to, in order for the American to actually have a representative in the 12 team playoff. You know, I mean, I guess they don't have to. It just
whoever
depends
wins
on,
this week is going to get the win over whoever they beat, which I think is going to push them over JMU.
Yeah,
the win in the American Conference Championship game is going to be better than anything JMU has on their schedule. Full stop.
Yeah, and that's 100% true. But do we think that sports writers in college football are willing to give the American the nod? You know, outside of, you know, our small circle of people that actually follow the American, do we think that?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a different question.
Yeah, I think that's the real conundrum, is like, when do we see a shift in major college football coverage to include the Power Four? Because the Pac-12 is dead. Mountain West is going to get readjusted. You know, I saw some posts on social media. It's like, hey, can we arrange like a 3-way trade between these conferences? And it was the American dumping some dudes to the Sun Belt, and the Sun Belt sending folks to Conference USA. Of course, it was a meme, but the reality of it is like, you got to get some balance to get these teams in there. And the American is, you know, a much lighter version of the SEC, but it's turning into like, everybody's cutting each other off at the knees because guys are getting 2 or 3 losses because nobody's running the table. And that speaks to the competition that's in there, you know, but how do you convince, you know, sports writers to say like, hey, Tulane and North Texas are good teams?
So they are. So let me just tell you, Rob, I have a pitch in my back pocket. If while we're down at the Army Navy game, we somehow meet some of the executives from ESPN, I have a pitch in my back pocket to turn Around the American into a weekly late night ESPN talk show about the American Conference.
Yeah, 100%.
I hope that we get a chance to do that, because I know exactly what I want to do. Essentially on the roundtable model, but with a little bit more interviews and stuff. And I think it would be an interesting show. I don't know if I'd need to be on the air, but I could run that damn thing for them for, you know, I'm for sale. Let me just put it to you that way.
Yeah, for a modest purse.
Yeah, for a modest fee. For a modest fee, we can improve your coverage of America's Conference.
Yeah,
and would like to.
Yeah, 100%. And West Point Dave asked, is the that was the second question. So I think, wow, we're already at the end of the show, which is good. We're right at 50 minutes. Hey, I really appreciate you guys coming out today. Hey, we have a favorite thing. We're going to probably talk about it a little bit more on the roundtable, but we're going to talk about it now. We got media credentials, folks, for the Army-Navy game. It's like, it's coming fast and furious. Dano had a call today, and we are going to be at the game. We're going to try and absorb as much of the fan experience as we can to provide you guys insights to what we see, media row. We're going to try and get as many interviews as we can. I want to twos out there, if you guys have any specific questions that you want to ask a media personality, particularly in the Firsty Club, like if you guys want to ask a specific question of a media personality, drop them in the mailbag so we can start queuing up some of the interviews that we're going to do. We're going to try and do as many as we can. It's going to be an interesting Friday prior to the game.
It's all going to be live to YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Like everything we do, we're just going to use StreamYard to go straight to you guys exactly like this.
Yeah. And so we're going to keep it open, excuse me for my sneeze, but we're going to try and do as best as we can to make sure that we have the opportunity to provide you guys the best fan experience. And yeah, that's it. If you can believe it. So for the crew here at the As for Football Army Football Show, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Omar, the Burger Popper, calling to you from the great state of Oklahoma, and Dano E. Cabeza, calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. And this is the end of the show. And as always, do us a favor. And hey, guess what? We are in the pipeline for beating Navy. So let's beat the hell out of the squids.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at asforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!